Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Keep It 100! Hey everyone, welcome to Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista.
Hey, this is your boy, Sean.
We love our Keep 100 tribe. So excited to be with you for this episode. And we have some really cool things coming up that we would love to invite all of you to be a part of. And those that are in the Bay Area, for those that are in the state of California and even beyond, because we certainly have people flying in consistently to be a part of our Momentum Night. And this coming Friday is going to be our next Momentum Night for the month of June. These are our monthly free gatherings and it's at 7 p.m. and everyone is welcome. We've been loving seeing the building full of hungry people and we're just coming expectant. Sean's going to be bringing a word. And we have just been seeing like an increase of signs and wonders. And our last one, Chaz Strickland from Florida was with us and he brought such a portion. And we saw about 22 healings and they were just awesome. And we got really amazing testimonies of like sciatica being healed, vision increasing, people that weren't able to sleep through the night because of pain in their body they'd been battling for years were totally healed. We just had so much breakthrough that took place. And we had a woman from a car accident wasn't even able to bend over and touch her toes. And she was able to bend over and touch her toes.
She got touched. She started weeping.
I know. I did too. I always start crying when God starts moving in a room. Like it always just is such a, like it hits you, you know? So Momentum Nights have been a place of encounter. They've been a place of freedom and breakthrough. So just get in the room. Get in the room. It's in Present City Church. That's our home church. They are gracious enough to allow us to do it in the building. Join us for this Momentum Night. It's just going to be a powerful night. We are calling the Bay because there's a move of God that's happening here. So be a part of it. Come get in the room with the remnant. We are believing for the more of God.
So again, that's June 6th, 7 o'clock, Momentum Night, 6444 Sierra Court Lane, Dublin, California. So we're excited to see you there. Also, we are super excited because we are launching our Blacksmith Leadership Lab, which is going to run June 17th through July 29th. And this, folks, isn't your average course. It is upper room encounter with life-on-life mentorship. And each week is going to be a strike of the hammer. We're going to have week one, priesthood protocol, walking in your God-given authority. Week two, supernatural sensitivity, how to tune your spirit to the whispers of heaven. Week three, we're going to have heart over hype. Come on, somebody. Build a legacy that outlives the platform or outlives the position. We're going to have week four, the anointed life, which basically we're going to talk about how to sustain the fire, how to walk in encounter, not just spark it, but sustain the fire. Week five, tongue of the learn, how to speak with power, lead with clarity. Week six, the breakthrough code, how to break ceilings, how to claim your full inheritance. And finally, we will close it off week seven with how to become emotionally and spiritually bulletproof, how to stand firm, stand shaken, and really begin to walk. And we just want to say that we're not training trend followers. We are forging kingdom leaders. And we just believe that every time heat rises in culture, God raises up blacksmiths. We see that in the book of Samuel, and we're believing for that now.
You know, I am so excited about Blacksmith. This is going to be the first thing Sean and I are doing together online. And we are both so passionate about godly leadership happening and arising in this hour, because there is, like I keep saying this, but there's a massive deficit of godly leadership in all spheres of society. But yet God is passionately raising up those Christian godly leaders for such a time as this, truly. And so if you want to be a leader in your sphere of influence, you want to be a leader in your school, if you're a student, if you're a pastor, if you're running a ministry, if you're in the business sector, if you're in, you know, an entrepreneur, whatever sphere, we believe God wants to raise up people to be influencers. And I'm not talking about trendy influencers. I'm talking about influencers for the kingdom of God. So we want to disciple you. We want to train you up and we want to cultivate and create a community of like-minded changers, world changers that are recognizing God's hand is on them and they're going to change their sphere of influence.
And you know why this is important? Because charisma without character is a crash waiting to happen. Hype without holiness doesn't shift anything. And I believe we have a generation tired of the fluff and they're hungry for fire, tested leadership that still trembles at God's voice. And you were never meant to lead from gifting alone, but from authority, discernment, devotion, because hell isn't scared of your platform. It's terrified of your purity, power, and obedience. We just want you guys to sign up. Krista and I are going to be there 7 weeks, 75 minutes each, plus Q&A. We're going to be giving giving you a study guide to go along with it. And we want to pour life on life on you. And I hope you get excited about it. And right now, if you will, when you register, you will type in the code FORGED, all lowercase, F-O-R-G-E-D, FORGED. You will get a discount. And I believe that you're going to love this thing. And I'm convinced the weak spots are going to get strengthened. Supernatural sensitivity is going to be sharpened and compromise will be crushed. This is the place for you. So sign up for that.
Keep Ahead of Tribe, as you know, because we've been announcing for this moment, we are actually in our final episode of our Keep It 100 Up podcast. Oh, I feel kind of sad saying that. I did. We have been doing this journey with you for 5 years, and we've had an incredible run with all of you. And we're so grateful for the Keep It 100 Tribe. But I have great news. The Keep It 100 Tribe is not dissolving. It's not going away. We are simply moving forward together. You can join us for our Blacksmith. If you are a woman, you can join me for the Big Ladies Club. These are online communities that Sean and I are cultivating, as well as our YouTube channel that's called Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. And then we're really going to begin to build that. There's going to be some of our teachings. There's going to be some of our sermons, more elongated sermons. And then also, of course, additional interviews that we're going to do with people that we do life with, voices that we feel like are really important to hear right now. And there might be a time or two where we still put out an episode. It might be dropped and we might drop it on social media and be like, hey, check out our podcast episode once in a great while. But the official Keep It 100 Tribe season has come to an end, and you are here in the finale. And our hope and prayer is that you've been poured into, you've been discipled, and you've gone deeper in your relationship with Jesus.
You know, we started this during COVID year. I know, Krista, you remember that. We really felt led of the Lord. We thought, what are we doing? We didn't know what we were getting into. And the Lord really breathed on it. And we just want you to know, thanks to you guys, this podcast is going down still in the top 1% globally. It's still going down as a podcast that's been listened to in 84 different nations. So it's so cool to know we're not pulling it kind of like your favorite TV series because the ratings were poor and you're pulling it. Is that we feel like we want to launch in these other areas, and particularly YouTube. I just want to underscore, and you were talking about this, Boo. The cool thing about our YouTube channel is that you'll not only be able to hear us and the people that we bring on, you'll be able to see it. So please listen, subscribe, comment. We're going to be putting out some more consistent stuff because now we'll have some freedom to do it. And our online courses, we're going to take it deeper. So if you've been blessed by our Keep It 100 podcast, just wait for what we're going to do with our online stuff. As she said, Big Ladies Club, and the one that's coming up, our Blacksmiths Leadership Lab. We just want to thank you guys for listening. And we're going to go out with a bang because we got a special guest coming up.
We do. We have one of our incredible spiritual mamas, Cindy Jacobs, joining us for an incredible conversation about prophetic and leadership, because we just believe God is raising up prophetic voices to lead the body of Christ, to lead culture, to lead society in this time. And so Keep On Our Tribe, as we always say, buckle up, because there's going to be a great conversation. Let's jump into it.
Hello, everyone. Everybody all over the world. Some of you, it may be in the middle of the night for you.
I know. Isn't that fun just how the nations gather? I was like looking through the comments, the chat, and I'm just like, wow, the nations have gathered. And that's a cool thing about online and the reach. But I love that you've so had impact in the nations. I think it represents you, Mama Cindy, of just the nations gather. When you release stuff, the nations show up. So we're just really honored to have you here tonight.
Thank you. We love you too very much. You're champions.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Mama Cindy, we're going to jump right in this. And one of the things that I just want to ask is a couple things. I think it would be so important to know you have really been a pioneer. And when you came up and began to prophesy, and even as a woman preacher, a mighty woman, I remember you and I talking, and Krista, and just about the things you had to run into that I think a lot of women now don't realize. You foreran that. Speaking of leadership and the prophetic, can you just speak a little bit of the journey of you just coming forth as a woman of God that is a proclaimer and a prophetess, what you had to go through and just some of the challenges that you saw and you faced?
Well, I think that I wish I knew a lot of things that I know now, of course. I didn't really have anybody to ask. And so that's what's so wonderful about this, all of you. Yeah, we can back it up. I mean, I first prophesied when I was 4 years old. I didn't know I was prophesying. You know, the thing is, when you don't have anybody else to talk to about it, you feel several ways. First, what you're doing is feel so normal. You just think, doesn't everybody do this? You know, when I used to lecture at Fuller Seminary, I learned at the School of World Missions something called gift projection, meaning something that's easy for you. You think, what is the matter with you? This is so easy to figure out. But it's not, because they're not wired like that.
Right.
That gives you a lot of grace for others that you might otherwise want to smack them or something, you know. But so anyway, I first prophesied the birth of my little sister when I was 4. Told mom she was going to have a little girl. I was having a little sister, but she didn't know she was pregnant. But she
wow.
Was. Yeah. So, and I had my little sister. I remember insisting I was going to have a little sister. Well, kids say lots of things, right? You know, but it was true.
Wow.
And then, you know, like people would call my house. I remember one time being about 12. Of course, we had landlines. The phone rang. And as it was ringing, I said, oh, this person just died. And they did. And whoa. This is before, you know, no caller ID or anything. A caller ID. And so we didn't talk about the supernatural. You know, we were Baptist. I realized now when my dad was preaching, he was operating in word of knowledge, but I didn't know that. You know, we just thought, how do you know these things? And so I didn't preach till I was 30, but I was called when I was 9. And so I was church camp, and you know, just they said, go talk to God, he'll talk to you. I did. He told me he had something for me to do, and then it didn't really happen till I was 30 years old. I tell people he is never late, but I tell him he has a lot of opportunities to be early. I wouldn't mind, you know, just let him be early, you know. Way okay, let's not make Cindy's faith get tested, you know. Did God really say? And so, yeah, but, you know, actually waiting is part of the prophetic, because you get heard. And there is really sometimes a suffering in it, because it doesn't always manifest the next year or sometimes the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, Krista, both of you operate in the prophetic, but Krista, that's, I think, her major gift, you know. And that's hard. It, of course, it's part of the character you have to develop. You know, there, that's part of, you know, we're talking about leadership. The higher you go, the more God is going to put you in the fire. The more you have to really manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be a great leader, to contextualize, you know, and why you're on, going to be a great leader, you have to have great character. And that's formed in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not on vacation. Well, sometimes on vacation. But, you know, so anyway, so if I had had someone I could read a book and listen to their journey. I mean, you have to understand the bubble we were in. We were Southern Baptists, okay? It was not Pentecostal. It was not, I mean, you know, so I did find out when I was 9, and I went forward, and, you know, they said, what are you going forward for? You know, I thought to the nations, but I didn't know what that meant, to be a missionary. And I looked at those little boxes. Well, I couldn't be a pastor and I couldn't be an evangelist. I could be a missionary, because those ladies could go to Africa and preach. It didn't matter what gender they were. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I look at it and see, you know, that's double-minded in a way, right? I remember saying to somebody, what about the missions movement? Where would they be without missionary women missionaries? But anyway, so when I began to understand, okay, I am prophesying. I remember writing a chapter in my book, The Voice of God, but I didn't mean to prophesy. That was my life. And I was so dumb in what I'd say. I had no filters. Everybody, we need filters. All right. Are we prophesying to a president? Are we prophesying to a child? Some people have only one ministry style, loud and full of typology.
Ooh, so good.
So you're not going to tell a little kid, okay, did you go across Jordan today? And are you wearing clothing, you know, wool and linen? I would think you're out of your mind. They might cry, you know. So I finally found out that I was prophesying. One of our pastors tried to cast that out of me. In our home group, tried to cast that out of me. Said it was, you know, and this happened actually twice, that I had a religious spirit.
Wow.
And that was kind of painful, you know? But I wish I'd had somebody, guys, listen, everybody. I wish I had somebody I could listen to or somebody I could ask.
Yeah.
Why did they do that? You know, this is like a little secret, but one of my prayers for myself is God keep me from presumptuous sins. Mm. And I pray that pretty regularly. I ask God to help me be a good leader and keep me from presumptuous sin.
Mm.
That's good.
And I realize I still have some blind spots, you know, in the way I communicate or how I say things. I'm always working it to try to do better and asking the Holy Spirit to work with me. A prophet has to learn. We have to have a moment by moment walk with God.
Yeah.
Because what we say has heavy weight. I mean, a pastor could get up, tell funny stories, maybe do this, do a little analog, whatever. I mean, theologically, it has to be sound. But I might say something that I'm quipping, you know, and they take it as gospel because I'm a prophet and it ruins their life.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be circumspect. We have to check our spirits. We have to rule our spirits well.
Mm.
I don't always do that.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to bed at night, many times, sometimes I'll ask the Lord, Lord, did I love well today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think I caused this person to be rejected. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, you really, you're out of bounds in that conversation, Jacob's like, oh, well, what do I do about it? You know, and I try to keep short accounts. I know many of you do too. You know, this is probably not revelation to you. So pioneering as a woman meant being preached about, television, radio. I was just written up in Texas Monthly Magazine. Just, you know, this last month, you know, this is a big magazine in Texas. So it kind of never ends. It just gets bigger. But the hardest thing, just to bare my soul to you, was my children.
Mm.
That was the hardest thing that they suffered.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting your children on the altar of God
mm.
or your family in general.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're single. And just family in general. Those you love.
Hey, Mama Cindy, one other thing, and I want Chris to jump in too. You know, today with leadership, I think we're seeing a lot of reactionary leadership. People mm-hmm. reacting to what someone did to them, what's going on around the world. Mm-hmm. But talk to us, because I think prophetic and leadership speaks of the fact that we don't want to just lead out of the reactionary. We want to lead out of revelation. And I've talked to you many times as you've prophesied, and you're always so confidential, but you've prophesied over leaders of nations and things. But mm-hmm. how important is it right now for leaders to lead by revelation as opposed to leading out of reaction?
That's good.
Well, I think we're all in a big test right now. If we're talking about all the different, you know, different podcasters doing this and that and things like that, I wrote an article, I haven't published it, called Finding the Line.
Mm.
And, you know, I was reading something the other day and the Lord said, that's gossip. I thought I was informing myself. And so I am working to find the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then revelation. But as a leader, you have to know what's going on. You have to be aware. And so, and all these things start coming out. You know, I had a really close friend of mine, somebody did a piece on. I know that man. Wow. I know him well. He has preached for us. You know, the accusations about him. I know nothing about, I've never, ever seen him in any of that way, you know. And so even now, I'm working to find that line. Okay, God has to reveal to us. We can't just go with the current tide. You know, the Bible talks about God giving you much or little, you know, and if he gives you much, you have a greater responsibility. Well, do people think about their responsibility? I mean, I know you guys do. I often think I'm responsible. Another thing, you know, like when this whole thing with Mike Bickle came out, people were, you know, on my ex accounts and different things. I don't know how I got all those followers. Anyway, but they're saying, why didn't Cindy Jacobs say something? And I read it going, because she didn't have a clue she was supposed to. You know, I didn't know people would care if I said anything or not. And then I thought, what am I going to say? Because I don't know what to say, you know. But we can mourn with those who mourn. So I did make a statement. Eventually, the whole, you both are on our Council of Prophets, we made a statement of grief, you know, over it. And grieving. And but guys, the current climate, we've never been this way before.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't quite know what what to do, you know? So revelation and collective revelation. That's what I love about our council. You know, on our signal thread, I ask about, you know, one person who was, you know, we had looked at a word and we felt it wasn't accurate, you know, and it's caused a lot of stuff, you know, but as we looked at that, it's like, I feel like God is saying, find the line.
I love what you're saying, Cindy, because I think it's that place of being informed as a leader, knowing what's happening in the world today, and then also being wise and operating discernment on what to allow into your life and what to watch and what to listen to. And there's a lot that maybe was posted or said against people that I really love. And I'm not saying that they did everything right, but I'm not going to listen and open myself up to all that stuff because it's not productive. It's not healthy as a leader. There are those times of discernment we've got to have where it's like, okay, I do need to become informed. There is pieces of the story I'm missing. I do need to ask some questions. I do need additional information. I need to have some conversations. And it's with the intention of being an informed leader, being able to know how to navigate the situation, respond to the situation. But in all of that, I guess I want to circle back. So just responding to that and just recognizing that hour we're in, we're kind of in a unique place. And maybe to people that are listening, for us not to be people that as leaders bail on people in their hard places, because that's not healthy leadership either. I feel like when people are in the fire and they're in tough places, we don't bounce from them. We don't step back from them. We still love them. We still show up for them. Whether they still have the powerful ministry or not, they're your friend. They're your friend in the good times and the bad times. And that's covenant relationship. But there is also that place. And I guess here's the question, just to take it full circle and then ask an additional question. What have you felt, Cindy, as a leader in those hard times, hearing everything that's kind of going on? And I think this is what's kind of created blacksmiths for us. It feels like in America, and I'd love to get your perspective on it, it feels like we have lost a lot of godly leaders because of decisions that have been not good decisions. And these people have made these decisions. I still believe God can redeem. I'm praying for the restoration. I still believe at any time God can restore anything at any time. And he always gives people the on-ramp to be restored. But in their decisions, there's now these like major gaps of leadership across the body of Christ. And I'm going to specifically focus on America right now, although I know other nations are listening and those nations are very important. But because we call America home, I'm going to focus on this. As a leader right now, how important is it to keep your heart clean and going back to that place of character, because we're watching so many people be taken out. And I heard another leader say this, so I didn't originate the statement, but when she said it, I was like, that's so good. She goes, I feel like I'm watching the enemy who's an assassin right now and like take leaders out one by one. That's honestly one of the reasons we're starting Blacksmith. I'm not saying this to promote Blacksmiths. I'm just saying like, that's our motive, because we're like, wow, we've got to get people back in a place of like diluted leadership, godly leadership, like willing to pay the price, recognizing people fail, still stand in the trenches, but like walking in integrity and character and like ask and being pliable before the Lord and walking in humility and not getting caught up in the Christian celebrityism, which I think has been a massive downfall in the church. I would love your perspective, because I think I heard you say at the beginning, we've never been here before. And I just kind of want to hang there. And I want to be like, if we've never been here, how do we respond in it then?
Well, like one thing I said earlier is I get really good counsel. We also have our board of directors. You know, I was going to go preach for somebody and, you know, something come out, not sexual. Okay. You know, I'm drawing the line at that kind of stuff, but, they gave me incredible advice, you know? So I think it's wonderful. And I just would pray for all of you that God give you those covenant relationships that you can have a corporate wisdom and a multitude of counselors. There's wisdom, you know, I mean, thinking even what you're doing with the blacksmiths and, you know, the different ones that are coming in covenant with, your ministry, Sean and Krista. I really value that. You know, I went in the San Francisco area to do, I felt I should do a prayer. Mike and I should do a prayer initiative. Invited ourselves to stay with Sean and Chris.
We loved it. You're welcome anytime.
We invited ourselves. Anyway, but I could have just gone and done that and not talked to anybody there.
True.
But that's not how I run Covenant Italy. I'm not going to go in their backyard without talking to them. Mm-hmm. This is living kindly with one another. Mm-hmm. This is valuing one another. And I'm just feeling that. I want to pray just a minute. Father, I pray for all those on this Zoom call that you will give them those kind of relationships.
Yes.
Feeling lovey, or they're thinking, I would really like that. Mm-hmm. Father, bring people. Mm-hmm. Bring the right people around them together. Prayer partners, those can walk with them. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. I also find, guys, that the higher visibility, like I used to have a mentor, Dr. Peter Wagner, who was arguably, I think you guys are like grandkids. Sean and Christopher, that. But I could ask him about leadership questions around the world. Well, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I feel that keenly because I grew up like, okay, you have your church, but then, for instance, some of the nations we go in, because of visibility, if I go with this church is mad at me. Or this church connects with that group of people. And so there's, I mean, I have to go gently into nations these days. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Days and I can just go preach somewhere at a local church, even if it's a big one, I have to think of it on a national level. And sometimes God will tell me to go anyway, and that's taking a risk of losing the other relationships. And in the world, you'd say a calculated risk, but when you hear from the Lord, it's not calculated. And you guys are a couple. I know some people are single on here, but Mike and I can bounce that off each other also. It's wonderful. You know, and some of you may not have that luxury, but God can fill it with those covenant friends. And part of being a good leader is developing a network of covenantal people that you can walk with, and intentionally asking the Lord for it. Lord, will you give me this? I need it. And so as far as when we go back with him, like for me, part of it is like how I watch how they take the accusation. Peter Wagner told me one time, he said he was talking about a leader of that day who had a big movement and a lot of focus on healing, not Reading. It was before Bill Johnson Reading. He said he was taking a lot of hits and he started justifying and defending himself publicly. He said, I've never seen a ministry do that. They didn't go down. And I took his advice. I mean, one time I was in Russia, we were pioneering under communism, and there was some kind of dissension that was happening. And I wanted to justify myself. So I am walking across Red Square and the Holy Spirit says to me, you have one justifier. Do you want it to be you or me?
Ooh. Man, that's good.
I'm probably on the floor, okay? And so I feel like, you know, we're doing a new show for Hollywood, When Heaven Hears. But going into Hollywood, I have found all kinds of stuff that I don't know how to navigate that world. Mm-hmm. I know how to navigate the church world, the missions world, the political world. I'm learning how to navigate it. And you don't know till you're in it. Can I say that? You know, I don't know anybody that has intentionally started a show to influence Hollywood. In fact, that's one thing Texas Monthly said, you know, talked about, and said they influence government. Maybe she will influence Hollywood.
Everyone listening, please go to Mama Cindy's YouTube.
Yeah, that's good.
She has a show where she is doing prophetic evangelism par excellence, where she's prophesying over industry people and other people, and she'll just, people that don't know the Lord, and she'll just get a clear prophetic word from the Lord, read their mail, and you just see people open up right before their eyes. We've seen the best way I could say it is kind of the counterparts. We've seen the psychics, whether that's Tyler's psychic dude of Hollywood or Long Island,
the medium.
Yeah, all that. But I'm telling you, the real deal is totally different. And this does lead to the next question. And Krista, you feel to jump in. I think this is so important. There are a lot of people that are listening that maybe they don't speak
speak out of pulpits and they may not have some of the platforms that we have. But my question is that in the understanding of John the Baptist, not all prophets wear camel hair. Some prophets wear pinstripes. So they may be in Google. They may be in Meta. They may be working for T-Mobile. They may be wherever working, you know, at Starbucks. How can people begin to exercise their prophetic gifting and lead in those different marketplace posts? And you're probably the best person I could think of to ask this question. So I'm so anxious to hear your response to this.
Well, there are prophets in every sphere of every sector of society. Now, in the 90s, actually, my husband was the first person I ever heard say that in the early 90s. We were doing spiritual warfare for business conferences. And that, like, now we just go, duh, you know. But that was unheard of, okay? Nobody talked like that, that it could be the fivefold in business or whatever. And I find that, number one, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send you to those who need a word or need to be saved or need your influence. When my husband was American Airlines, they used to call him Pastor Mike because everybody wanted to ask his advice. Okay. You know, but as a prophet, we can learn to be very versatile. Like I was just with a whole bunch of Kenyans Sunday night and I prophesied over a guy, called him out of the crowd, and I looked at him and I said, the Lord is sovereign funds. And I started talking about all kinds of stuff about, you know, financing, economics. I do not have a clue what a sovereign fund is. I still don't. Okay. Mike is laughing over there. You know, I was with a very, very wealthy Asian couple. And I looked at him and says, the Lord says, tell the president to start a commodities market. And so we get out of the room and Mike goes, you have no idea what a commodities market is, do you? I go, no, what is it?
That's so awesome.
And now I know, you know, he explained to me, I'm a music major. Okay. He's a business major. But I believe in this reformation that we're experiencing right now, we're going to have prophets that work at Apple and Google and Silicon Valley. I mean, I know some, you know some. And I was just in Taiwan and I met two guys that work in a massive way with Asian companies. And like, for instance, I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I was told by people in the know that Disney would hire psychics and they put on a retainer for like $50,000 a year or something. Companies hire spiritual advisors, just not us, you know. And people say, well, you can't pay for a prophecy. No, but a prophet has to eat. Okay, so, you know, there is a balance to all that. And God is assigning people. I wrote a book called The Reformation Manifesto, Now Reformers Arise, where I talked about discipling a nation. I believe God assigns evangelists to companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully you all can learn to be versatile enough that you can hear the Holy Spirit strongly enough that you could walk into whatever situation and give spiritual advice. Because I don't have to understand. I just have to know how to hear. You know, that's why the show's When Heaven Hears. I'm talking to a guy on the show, Japanese-American guy, obviously didn't know about Christianity, you know, and he gets saved, you know, and he comes to the Lord right on the set.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I mean, so sometimes we make it too hard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need to say, hey, if you're going through a hard time, I'm here and I'd be glad to say a prayer with you. And the prayer becomes a prophecy. We make it so hard, but it's just loving people. I think Jesus doesn't pick and choose who he cares about. And so I prophesied in the early 90s that revival would come through. Now, we're now seeing the business sector and the sports sector. We're seeing great fruit in the sports arena. Of course, and that's your arena, Sean, you know. And if those sectors of society, every nation's different. You know, if these people of influence get saved, you know, in Europe or most of the world, it would be soccer, you know. So basically, I feel like for all of you, that whether you ever become a visible leader, you certainly got Secret Service agent, you know, for your neighborhood, for your school, whatever it is. And I pray that God will fully 100% utilize you wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. That's so good, Mama Cindy. Hey, let me throw something else out there. True confession, you guys, I don't know if we have any animal rights activists, but you got to remember I was an inner city bored kid. I didn't have Nintendo Switch. I didn't have Commodore
64. And you have a dog.
That's right. I had a dog, Jackie. Great memory. I used to go out and I'd find these snails on the ground and they had their long antennas. If I knows a snail, there were two antennas. And one time I just thought, oh, that's a weird thing. I thumped it and the snail retracted an antenna. So I thumped the other one to retract and I repeatedly thumped and the antennas went totally in the snail's head where I thought, oh, that's awesome. I'm going to get his uncle, his mother, his brother. So I got all the line of snails, which is horrible. I admit I was a little kid. I say that to say, I believe our culture today is loud, but the devil's trying to thump the antennas of the prophetic. That in the midst of this bully narrative that wants to drive an agenda of godlessness, immorality, sexual confusion, all of these things, how important is it for us as prophetic people to have clarity, but also speak boldly? Because we can't let the devil thump our antennas down, or maybe even there's some prophetic people that, like you described, maybe they were hurt or maybe they were attacked because the enemy's always going to go after the prophetic. The spirit, you know, obviously of Jezebel went after Elijah and cause the prophets to cave in. How important is it for us to have clarity and to speak boldly, particularly in this hour, Mama Cindy?
Well, of course, more than ever. You know, I think that's a given. More than a few times, I've said I'll never prophesy again. Uh-huh. I got my feelings hurt. People misunderstood when I did it. You know, we have to have strong emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence. Chris Vallotton has a good book on spiritual intelligence. Yeah, I mean, I've seen people get shipwrecked in their faith. The Bible talks about being shipwrecked where we don't grow anymore. We make these inner vows and we say, I'll never do that again. I'll never put myself out there. So what we do is we still loving Jesus, but we're holding back. Man, I've done that before. And I wasn't even aware I was doing it. It was a terrible part of the whole equation, you know? So we have to let the Holy Spirit kind of radar us, you know. And be intimate enough with God that he can correct us or, you know, say, look, you're holding out on me, you know. Truthfully, I don't think any really godly person intentionally means to do that. You know what I mean? We love Jesus. We're not gonna, you know, just not be an active Christian. So I think it seems like the Holy Spirit keeps going back there somehow. You know, I'm listening to this. Okay, we're circling back to this. We're circling back. So there was someone that I knew that worked for me, really great gift. And I said to them, you could be a really great leader, but you don't have the emotional intelligence to do it. Mm-hmm. Unless you get healed, you're going to sabotage yourself or you are going to, you know, make other people reject you. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got an orphan heart. Yes. and it's going to shipwreck you. Well, sadly, she went through, I don't know how many other people she worked for. It was a woman and someone I loved deeply, but never got hold. And that makes me really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that makes me really sad. So yeah, I think God is saying to us, I think that may be the message really of the night, is to be whole.
Yeah.
So good.
We're whole.
That's so good. I think you're right that being whole is so key. You know, as I've been praying in this season, and I'd love to get your thoughts on what you feel like maybe specifically connect with prophetic and culture as we're talking about this tonight, and it's also connected with what you were just saying about being whole. Mm-hmm. As I've been praying, I've just felt like we're in a season where it's really important for us just to get quiet, to quiet the noise. It's funny. I've been driving in the car just with no music. I've been walking my dog with nothing on, like listening to nothing. I just, in my own life, I'm just craving quiet like never before. And this place of just getting with God and allowing God to work on my heart, really reconnecting with the fire that I believe God wants to put, but maybe through life, it's gotten a bit smaller. My flame has gotten a little smaller, or I've just, my heart is like maybe not as tender as it used to be. And I say all this to say, I think we're in a season of recalibration, and that recalibration requires quiet. It requires simplifying in this season and allowing God to restore you, to heal your heart, to give you his perspective. this hasn't been an easy season for a lot of people, and people have been walking through genuinely hard things. And our goal, and maybe not even goal is the right word, but something that I'm consistently pursuing is to stay sweet in the spirit and stay connected to Holy Spirit, that I want to just be pliable to him. I want him to make sure my heart's whole, my spirit's whole. And when I feel broken in areas, when I feel disappointed, when I feel like, man, I don't have anything left, God, but you do, all the more, the quieter I get, the more still I get, just removing the noise. I'm seeing in the chats, people are like, that's me. That's where I'm at. I feel it at large. That's where kind of we're at, is this recalibration. Again, not like I'm trying to get you to agree with me, Cindy, but just like, what are your thoughts on that, on the area of wholeness? Like, kind of maybe a better question for you is like, what would you speak to right now? God's asking people specifically that want to move in the prophetic. What's an important posture right now?
Well, yes, I think it's important to know the seasons of your life.
Yeah, that's good.
Not everybody has the same rhythm, the same experiences, the same seasons. So you need to have understand. Was reading some of the comments. If you realize you're broken, get whole. You know, we all need regular checkups. Life can beat you up. You know, it's just not, you know, and nothing you asked for, nothing you wanted, nothing you provoked, you know, this can happen. And so, you know, or go to a counselor. You know, I mean, I don't know if that sounds spiritual. Find a spirit-filled counselor that you can talk to. Mm-hmm. And we have disappointments in life. Mm-hmm. You know, one time I was really feeling down, and I asked the Holy Spirit, what's wrong with me? And he said, depression is frozen anger, Cindy. Mm. And I said, well, why am I feeling like that? And he said, because you have disappointment.
Ooh, that's good.
And I said, what am I disappointed about? And he said, well, this happened in your family situation beyond your control. And so this person died. And because of these person's decisions, you'll never get that person back. So you're disappointed. Mm. It was just disappointment. And so I literally went through that time. I mean, I remember at the time I thought, by this time, I thought this would have happened. Or, you know, we make markers for ourselves in our life, and we think certain things will happen, but they don't always. And it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, we have developed this culture where we just say, how are you? Okay, I'm okay. We're not okay. You just lied through your teeth. You know, you were just crying this morning. But again, going back to find somebody, you know, find somebody reputable that can help or take you through deliverance. We believe in casting out demons. And so we all have to have seasons where we realize we need to be quiet. We need to, what do they say? They use the Pentecostal preachers, tune out to tune in, you know. And so thank God, Krista, you're sensitive enough mm-hmm. that you know when you need to tune him in.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
That is. Mama Cindy, man, our time is going so quick. Please, I want to give time. Please tell us how we can follow you, how we can support you, how we can just continually stay apprised of what you guys are doing. So please give us any specifics, websites, socials, whatever projects or schools or whatever you got going on.
Okay, well, generals.org, and we have our Deborah's Conference, Deborah's 2025. Krista's going to be one of our anointed speakers. We have the most amazing team coming in. I don't know if it's 30 or whatever. And, you know, so come July 17th through 19th. It's going to be at Chuck Pierce's. It's right outside of Dallas. Come to that. We have our Global Prophetic Summit that is the first weekend of November, full week of November every year, and that'll be coming up. Something exciting is our media team now has developed, we're doing GITV, a smart app. It's just, we haven't launched it. We're in the beta phase. So on your smart TV, there will be an app right next to the app.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that's exciting. And pray for me that the Lord tells you. You know, I might be talking to a president tomorrow or a prime minister or somebody asking my advice. And social media, Cindy M. Jacobs, Cindy Jacobs.
Mama Cindy, thanks so much. What a blessed opportunity that you brought to all of our listeners and people. And this is going to go on our YouTube channels for people that missed it, or I know people asked about it. So thanks so so much for that. And man, we can't wait to see. Obviously, Chris is going to see you. Deborah's. I'll both see you at, you know, the GPS Global Prophetic Summit. Thank you so much, Mama Sydney. We love you and we thank God for you.
We love you. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and just your insight. We love you and we value you. So thanks for being with us.
You know, you always have my heart, always and forever. And goodbye to everyone. Thank you for giving us your time. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Wasn't that powerful?
So powerful. I love Mama Sydney. I love her wisdom. I love her experience of life and just her insight. And just what a great way to end our Keep 100 podcast with our final episode with such a general in the faith.
And one of the things I think is so important, I think maybe even prophetic that we are kind of signing off on this theme, that we are in a space and a time right now where it's so important that we leverage our influence prophetically with kingdom power to shift a generation. We really believe that God is already on the scene. He has already earmarked, I believe, this time for great harvest to come in. We're entering and seeing an intersection of the Great Commission and the Great Attraction, the Great Commission of Matthew 24, the Great Attraction of Isaiah 60, where it says that the glory of the Lord will arise upon you, Gentiles be drawn in the brightness. And to break it down simply, that God is putting something special on people that will stand up and let their light shine. And we really believe that we endeavored for 5 years just to continually put forth things that we believe would disciple you, equip you. And now we believe that you're ready, as you've been ready, to go make your mark upon the world. So we just want to let you guys know, thanks so much for listening. We love you.
Yes, we do. We love you. We're so grateful for the Keep 100 tribe. Keep coming up to us as we travel on the road. Keep just connecting with us. Oh, again, we're just going to say it. We're not done here. We're going to keep going together. So let's continue to run after Jesus together.
And remember, Keep 100 tribe.
Say it together.
Hey, let's say it together.
Let's do it.
Relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.